Hey, listeners, this is Levi. I have Travis and Nate. Today, we're going to be talking about what is great faith and what distinguishes it. Faith is something that we believe deeply in here. We believe that God is always good. He is always enough, and he has the answers. There's no higher calling than to know him, to love him, and to follow him. But there are times where we use faith to justify maybe our decisions or to pledge to certain things. I remember one time I was talking with a college student, and he said, you know, I really believe God told me to date, and I won't use the name, you can insert, we'll call her Sally. The problem with that situation was Sally didn't get the same message. And there's other times people will say, God told me to do this or God told me to do that. And sometimes it can sound really spiritual. It can sound spiritual like, well, God told me to go to the mission field or God told me to go to seminary. I remember being in seminary and there are a lot of people that I'm pretty sure God did not tell them to go to seminary. Yeah, we often celebrate, I think, these great faith, or we say great faith is connected to large choices, and we spiritualize these choices. And yet the scripture talks about something very different than that. And it really is a commitment and a pledge or an oath to trust what God says. And that usually is in the ordinary, in the mundane, that we're trusting God. It's in the middle of the fight with the wife where, you know, your guys are going at it and you're reminded of the passage of scripture that a soft answer takes away wrath or it lessens the wrath. And believing that in that moment is actually really hard because it could mean that you don't win the argument. But trusting what he has in those things, I was reading some scripture, and there's this passage of scripture that talks about Jesus' temptation. And one of the things that Satan did when he was tempting Jesus was he told him to jump from the temple, and the angels will catch him. He was recognizing the power that was in Jesus and the power that God had to actually do this, but he was actually quoting from Psalms 91. It talks about that in that passage. But Jesus, he quotes Deuteronomy 6:16. He says, hey, do not put the Lord your God to the test. This was a warning that was given to the people not to demand visible signs to prove that God was with them. Jesus was telling Satan that he didn't need to test God. He already knew he could trust his Father. Jesus showed his faith and his great faith in the Father when he obeyed his Father's command to go to the cross, clinging to the promise that he would rise again. Jesus didn't need to jump from the temple because he actually had too much faith.
It's kind of backwards than what we normally think. We think, well, if I had enough faith to be healed, I'd be healed. But no, it actually takes more faith to live through the crisis and trust that God will bring you through, or trust that God will give you enough strength to continue to move on in the midst of it.
Or even trust that God's still good in the midst of the chaos and uncertainty. Yeah. And I think that's one of the hardest things when your faith is challenged, right? Because we face those hard things in life, and it's easy to trust God and say, oh, my faith in God is huge when everything's going really well, like you were saying, Nate. Mm-hmm. But when tragedy strikes or chaos kind of surrounds your life and you're sucked down into those deep, dark holes of whatever life throws at you, it's really hard to hold on to that promise of what God says, that he's going to be there in the little things and the big things. And I think a lot of the times my perspective of how I want my life to go is a lot different than what God's got for me. And looking back on some of those bigger things that I've walked through in life, you can see God's faithfulness when you are in those things from hindsight a lot more clearly than you can, you know, in the middle of it trying to look for the light in the darkness. But he's still there and he's still good. And it's hard to cling to faith in those moments, though. But I don't think I'm alone in that struggle.
I think, though, when crisis happens, it's in some senses, it's easier to cling to faith, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have the disciples that are like, holy smokes, we're going down. Let's wake up Jesus here, right? Like they had some faith that he could do something about it in that moment.
Or at least grab a bucket and help them bail.
Right, at least he would do something in those things. I really think the hard part and the difficult part for me in faith and to have a distinguished faith or a great faith is committing to what I already know. There's a passage of scripture that talks about for those who love God, all things work together for good. But the application of this is much more difficult to live. We have to ask the question, what does it mean to love God? The scriptures actually tell us what it means to love God. It says that this is love for God, to obey his commands. We know a bunch of stuff about scripture, and we know what God already wants for us, intends for us. I think for me, the ordinary is really difficult to actually live in, but it's rarely the big life decisions that I'm not seeking God. It's those little life decisions, those micro life decisions where faith, I think, is built for the big decisions.
You kind of bring up this idea like faith is not knowledge, faith is action. It's what do we do with that knowledge? We can know a ton about God, but what do we do with that? Are we going to live it out? Are we going to believe it? Are we going to trust in his promises that he's given us? One of my favorite passages, James 2:19. James was Jesus' half-brother. He's a really good dude. He was actually respected by the religious rulers, and he just kind of called people out and says, hey, you say you have faith, but like, what are you doing? What does your life look like? Like, some of you say you have faith, but you have no works that back that up. And I'll show you my faith by what I do. And then he like makes this argument. He's like, hey, you believe that God is one. Well, that's good. You should believe that's true. Even demons believe that and shudder.
And well, yet, I think it's a soft belief, right? It's a belief like, I understand that he's God, but it's not a belief that actually compels you, I think, is a different type of belief.
Well, their belief that God is powerful is what makes them shudder.
Right.
It's not a saving faith or anything like that. But the question is, well, what does our faith look like? Does our faith compel us to action?
I like that. I like how you distinguish between there's faith, but then there's that saving faith where it compels you to action. And I think a lot of the times for me, you know, same with you. The big things, it's easy to hold tight to God because you're out of control. There's nothing I can control. And those big crisis moments, like my youngest was born and shipped off to the NICU and it was really bad. And it was easy for me to cling to my faith because that's all I had. I had nothing that I could do. I couldn't go in there and give the doc some advice and tell him how to handle that. I wanted to, but, you know, that wouldn't have been helpful.
Save the boy, doc.
But those little things like you're talking about, the mundane where you're pushed to an actual working out of your faith, where you're in an argument with maybe our spouses, maybe one of us gets in a fight here and there with one of our wives from, or multiple wives for you, Levi, your many wives from time to time. But those are the harder points. You said it in a sermon, so it's okay.
It was an accident.
But it's those times where like, am I living out my faith? Is my faith actually producing fruit in my life because I'm allowing myself to be obedient to God and allowing him to produce fruit in my life? And those, I would agree, are the harder moments to hold on to your faith and live that out tangibly.
The other part is the over-spiritualization of everything. Like everything is spiritual. I ate a banana. God told me to. There's some things that are just, yes, we should read the Bible. We should pray. But our only calling in life is not to sit in a cave and read our Bibles and pray every day, and that's how we grow. There are maybe some people who are called to that. I think there's probably very few, but the reality is that God created an incredible universe for us to live in and to enjoy and to be a part of. There's spiritual nourishment every day where we should be in prayer and Bible study, but if that's all you do, you're unbalanced. And in one sense, I think if you're living in a cave, just reading your Bible and praying, and that's all you're doing, and you're kind of useless probably to God and to the mission of God that people would know him. So I think we often over-spiritualize things. The person who refuses treatment, you know, they have diabetes, they have severe depression, but they're like, nope, I'm not going to use that and God's going to heal me. Well, maybe God wants to heal you through the insulin that the doctor has. You know, it's like the helicopter that flies over the guy at the island and like, hey, do you need help? Nope. God's going to send a boat to save me, right? Like, it's like there are things that God gives us here in this world, doctor's knowledge and professional help in some of those areas that are really, really helpful to us. And I think they're a part of God's good creation that we have those types of things. And so the only thing, it's God in all things.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the flip side of, I think the paradigm is the only time God's in my life is Sunday morning when I get that hour and 15 minutes and I'm really kind of checking my watch already to see if this guy's going to go OT like yeah,
kickoff's
Nate does.
Coming.
Yeah. And when he...
Okay, dude, recently you went like 10 minutes over. So
I have not been ever.
Who still
over?
Has the record? It John. might be me still.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's you, dude.
I think either side of those paradigms, though, you're putting God in a box and we're putting limitations on God and kind of feeling like we were forcing his hand to deliver in whatever way we choose. Like you said, God can work through the gift, the talent, the ability that he's given that medical provider. He's given us technology to be able to know some things about how the body works and how disease impacts it. And when we're like, well, I'm not going to do that, or I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, we're saying, God, I have faith in you, but it's going to be on my terms. And I've been there before, and you know, it gets frustrating when you're in those moments because you're like, God, I told you I needed you to show up, and I told you exactly how I need you to do it. And so that scripture of he works all things together for the good of those who love him, maybe we need to walk through some hard times because those trials and tribulations are those crucible moments where he's removing the impurities from our life so that we can have a greater, stronger faith in him.
Yeah, and I think faith just continuously points us back to this idea. It's about a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about us having the most comfortable life. It's not about us having all the good, all the blessing of the world, but it's about us trusting in God day to day, moment by moment, in the times where we don't understand what's going on, and the times maybe where life is kind of normal and things are going good, but trusting God for whatever that next step is.
Well, and trusting him no matter what, that he knows what's good for you.
Yeah.
I think I've shared this story before, maybe with the listeners, but for sure with you guys, of when my grandma was dying of cancer. Mm-hmm. Terminal, like three to 6 months to live. She outlived that thing for a few years. Mm-hmm. And what she did with that, she didn't wallow and feel bad for herself. She went and did her treatments and did her chemo and that stuff. But every time that she met with her doctor, who was not a believer in Christ, she shared her faith with him. And she mm-hmm. did that till her last breath. And I think that's some of the good that God has for us, to be able to use us as tools to further the kingdom, to be lights, to share the gospel. And it's not always easy or fun or comfortable for us, but it's better for pushing the gospel, pursuing the kingdom, furthering the kingdom so that other people can be blessed by it and good can come out of our situation.
I think one of the things that happens in our lives is we kind of prioritize things at a higher level. We'll say, well, you know, Bible reading and prayer, that's the highest level. Well, there's other things, you know, loving your wife, loving your spouse, those types of things, the action part of it. But also there's the mind, body, and soul. And those things aren't separated. And so it's spiritual to work out. It's spiritual to develop your mind and to develop things in that way. And I think the skills that God has given you to do that, those are spiritual acts that we do. You don't take away the reading your Bible, going, God, man, I want you to light my path. I want to walk with you, and I want to understand. I want a word from God. So we go to the Word of God type of thing. But it doesn't mean that's all you do. And that tension in that is that we are human. We aren't just spiritual. And we have to figure out what is the balance in all of those things. What does it mean for us to care for our bodies? What does it mean for us to take time to rest? And that's not something we do well around here, and we probably need to get better at that. But those are things that are equally important and equally spiritual. But when we start to categorize, well, this is spiritual and this is not, I don't think that's actually a really good thing. If you look at Jesus' miracles, you know, the greatest miracle is salvation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we find relationship with God through the work of Jesus on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. That's the greatest miracle ever. But most of Jesus' miracles had to do with physical things. Mm-hmm. stops a storm, you know.
Healing. Resurrection.
Right. Yeah. So there is a physicalness to us. We were created to be physical. And, you know, I always love when people say things like, oh, there's a new angel in heaven when someone died. You were not created to be an angel. They are totally separate from that. And I get what they're meaning. They're with God. And that's a good biblical idea, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But you're not going to be an angel. The second coming is coming, and Revelation talks about a new heaven and a new earth, and it's exciting with great. We're going to have new bodies that are physical.
One body, not like multiple bodies. Just to clarify, in case people were misunderstood that.
No, that would be the key term in there.
The English language, dude.
Yes. Razzle you a little bit.
English language, dude.
But I'm excited because we're doing a sermon series.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and I have hope. Yeah, we're taking a little REM. Yeah. Travis, you want to sing that for us?
Yeah, my throat's feeling a little bit scratchy. I've been talking a lot today, so it's not going to sound right. So we'll pass.
Is that the COVID?
Can't joke about that. Oh. But it was funny. I mean, I've stuck back on the thing. I remember one time you said in one of your sermons that one of the most spiritual things you can do is take a nap. And for me, that rings true. When I get tired, I get cranky. And those tired and hungry, I get cranky. But that's one of those things that when I am not in that place of rest, which is a biblical concept, I know we don't do it fantastically. And as an American culture, I think we thrive on staying busy, and that's our badge of significance. But side point, we don't do those things well, and it impacts other areas of our lives. And being physical beings that God created us that way, we do need sleep, and we do need times of rest. And a little R&R is good for your soul, because then you can come back and you do have more energy to actually engage in your Bible at a deeper level, to live out your faith and like parent your kids a whole lot better. You know, when I'm rested up, I've got a whole lot more patience that I can kind of hopefully give them a glimpse of what our Heavenly Father has given us, so much grace.
Yeah. And I think it all comes back to that faith component. Like when we trust that God's got this, and when we depend upon Him and say, you know what? At this point, I need to rest. At this point, I need to go exercise or something like that because I'm stressed. And hand over whatever we're doing. Okay, God, you can handle this and you can take care of it. I've done my best at this point, but I need to take care of myself. Part of that is just recognizing I can't do it all, and I need to trust God to fill in the gap for me.
And that reminds me of one of my favorite passages out of Proverbs, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, and always acknowledge Him and He'll make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord. Like, we're not going to understand everything this side of heaven about God. He doesn't want to reveal, or He's not going to reveal every single plan that He has. That's part of faith.
Preach it.
And so there are times where you need to burn off some steam, and God might be giving you that spirit of anxiety or stress to be like, yeah, you need to go run for a little bit. You need to go ride your bike or throw some weights around the weight room. It's good for your body to do.
The life of faith has never been about making big decisions or just reading your Bible and praying and hanging out in a cave. It's not jumping off of temples for God, but rather about the daily grind of obedience to Him and trusting what we already know. And you probably know more about the Bible than you think you do. And just trusting those things, that God is going to be faithful in those things when we do those. There's not a secret knowledge. God has revealed what He's revealed to us. You can look all you want in your Bibles, and it's not going to say Sally Sue is your spouse to be. It's just not in there. It's not going to tell you that, hey, you're supposed to go and be a lawyer or a doctor or construction worker or whatever. It's not going to say that in there. It's just not there. But being faithful in the daily grind requires a huge act of faith. That's the act of genuine faith. It's to rest in the promises of God and obey His commands and do whatever comes before you. It's not one big decision that makes great faith. It is being faithful to what we know for a lifetime. And when we do that, I think we leave a legacy of faith, and that pleases God. So thanks for listening. We're just thankful for you guys. If you have any questions or you have topics that you would like us to cover, Travis@evangelup.org, and we'll get back at you.